We're going to look at Genesis 4 today. And I remember Brother Guy last week said, that, and I couldn't agree more. Scripture interprets scripture. Scripture is the best study or commentary that we could find in and when I read scripture, I do my best to read it through. Not every, I don't read the whole book, right? But I try to get the chapter at least. As a brand new Christian, I used to do that. Like, this is God's love letter for me, and here you go. That's my, verse for the day, verse of the day keeps the devil away, so to speak, right? And it's just okay. At least I was in the Word, right? I knew it was important enough that I had to do that, but I really didn't grow very much in my understanding of God and His Word. As a matter of fact, I don't think anything really, other than obviously Bible study and preaching and listening to preaching, nothing helped me to understand God's Word better when I read it and then I'm around my children. My children have taught me a lot about the Bible because once in a while I will get on their case about something. I'm trying to prune and straighten as a father, and I realize that sometimes even when it's right for me to be be stern about this or be angry about, because God gets angry at things, right? Sin and all that stuff. And I will hear that still small voice and say, Reese, sometimes the thing that you're getting mad at them about, you do that. And I go, oh Lord, yes, you're right. I'm sorry. Sometimes, even though we're right, we don't do it the right way or the right time or the right reason, we're wrong, right? Even though it, so I think that's kind of what we're going to look at today in Genesis 4 is, I think if I could summarize it, Genesis 4 is about the verse that says obedience is better than sacrifice. So before we get into it, let's pray. Let's pray that God will just lead us. And Father, Lord, we just thank you for this evening. Thank you for bringing us all under the shelter of this roof, Lord. And thank you for all the things you've done already today. And not just today, Lord, but for all our lives that brought us to this moment, God. And you keep providing, you keep helping, you keep guiding, you keep protecting us, Lord. And you are our Savior, our Redeemer, Lord, and we just ask that you will be with us tonight as we look at your word and help us to learn what you would have us to learn. And Lord, just guard us from anything that is not of you. Holy Spirit, will you be our light? Will you please be our guide as we look and illuminate our minds and make alive your word into our hearts? And we will give you all the praise and the honor for it, God. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. So Genesis 4, and this is the story of Cain and Abel. And I was, in preparation and for this, I thought to myself that I wouldn't be surprised if I, or if we all walk out of this room together and we'll have more answers, I mean, more questions than we do answers. I believe the Word of God is awesome. Sometimes it leaves us with very little details of things, right? And sometimes it gives us enough details to be able to understand and live by the principles that it wants, that God wants us to live by, right? Sometimes we try to fill in the blanks, but we have to remain within the bounds of Scripture, I believe, right? So when I read the scripture, I told you I try to read a chapter, or I try to read it all the way through, and I pray it in. I said, Lord, help me to understand this, even more so, help me to apply what it is that you're trying to teach me in your word in my life, right? And I ask my, I ask questions. Somebody taught me a long time ago, and you get into the scripture, ask, is there a promise to claim? Yes, no. If not, then is there a lesson to learn? Yes, no. Well, what is it? And then is there a blessing to enjoy? Sometimes it's just a blessing there to enjoy, right? And sometimes is, I ask, is there a command that I need to obey? Right? Is there a sin to avoid? Or just simply, is there a new thought to just carry with me throughout my day or my week in my life? And so we try to pray it in, and I try to live it out and then pass it on. I think that's what those early Christians did. So I think we're in good company. But I'm going to go ahead and read the whole chapter. It's got 27 verses, I think, and then we'll get back to and how it, we can discuss some of these things together, all right? And I'm reading off the King James. And it says here in chapter 4, verse 1 of Genesis, it says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten the man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Shall thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lies at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cries unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which had opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day and from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city, and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mehujael, and Mehujael begat Methusael, and Methusael begat Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other Zillah. And Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, you wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, had appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. So it starts out kind of rough, and then it kind of ended in a high note there, because it said, and men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Praise God for that. But what's going on here, right? So let's look at this together. Again, I'm not promising anything except that God will have answered our prayers and that God wants us to know his word and to lead. And I just know that God will reveal stuff to us, right? Because again, and don't be surprised if you may have more questions and answers at the end of this. But verse 1, it says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife. The word and there implies that this is a continuation of the things that have been said before. This is a narrative, right? It's a story, and it's building up on what the things that had gone on the last three chapters. I believe that's important. In the New Living Translation, I think it says now and now, right? This happened, verses 1, 2, or chapters 1, 2, and 3, and now. This is what's going on, okay? So it's a continuation. I think that's important. And then he says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife. Now, if you guys need more explanation than that, Pastor Greg had volunteered to bring us in the back at some point and explain that a little bit further. And she conceived, right? And bare Cain and said, can you almost hear the excitement in her voice? I have gotten a man from the Lord. And I believe it's Eve who said that. And remember what the punishment was to the woman: in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. So it was just like anything, right? I would say, I mean, any woman, right? And modern medicine has tried to kind of help out with that, with the whole, what do you call that, nerve block stuff, right? But I believe this is still, my grandmother, actually, my mother's mother died in childbirth, giving birth to her younger sister. She was 7 years old, my mother was. And so this is really a wrestle between life and death, right? And I believe that that's, you know, part of the reason why she was just so surprised and she was just ecstatic. You can almost hear that excitement. I have acquired a man from the Lord. I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. Now, some people think that maybe Cain and Abel were twins because there was no point of conception between the two brothers. But we don't know, right? I mean, I don't think it's important, to be honest, right? Could be a few years older, could be a few minutes older than Abel, Cain was. But it I don't think that's really that important, right? And it says here that that then she bore again and bare his brother, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it's setting out just whatever their livelihood program was, right? Basically, their occupation, their method of living. And what I can tell from this is that, you know, God told Adam, go and be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth and replenish the earth, right? And it's interesting to see that one of them was a keeper of sheep and the other one was a tiller of the ground. Now, after the fall, God told Adam, cursed is the ground. He didn't curse Adam, right? That's what Brother Guy said, you know, made clear to us last week, is that the ground was cursed. And he said, in sorrow, in toil, in the sweat of your brow, is it going to yield its fruit? And we see Cain taking on that spot. And I can totally imagine Cain as, you know, because they were very smart. They were very intelligent. They were created in the image and likeness of God. I mean, we have electricity and, you know, diodes dancing on our LEDs and dancing on our screens today. But I imagine these people to be very intelligent. They were created in the image and likeness of God. How creative God is and how intelligent God is, right? And this is as close to the original model, the first man. And I believe that, I mean, they lived for a very long time. I mean, Adam was 930 years old. It was the span of his life, right? And we don't know how old Abel and Cain at this point, right? But in the process of time, Cain and Abel grew up, and this is their livelihood, right? And I think that's important because the next verse says, and in the process of time, verse 3, and in process of time, it came to pass. How long? We don't know how long. That Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Now, let me stop there for a second. Is this the first time that they're bringing offering? Or has it been multiple times? Is this the second time? Is this the 343rd time? We don't know, right? We just know that in the process of time, it came to pass. That's what the Bible says. That Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Uh-oh. What is this? But unto Cain, but there's a big but there, a but unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth and his countenance fell. What is going on here? Is it right? I'm telling you, maybe more questions than you do answers. But I think there's some help that we can have because these two brothers are mentioned in the New Testament as well. We know that actually Jesus in Matthew 23 called Abel righteous. Now, okay, why? Was Abel righteous because he was sinless, like perfectly sinless? Well, Romans 3:10 and Romans 3:23 says all have come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? So I believe Abel is also a sinner because all have sinned. The only one that's ever lived a human life, a human existence without perfectly without sin is one man, and his name is not Abel. It is Jesus Christ, right? So,
Cain offering to God was a sheep.
well, no, we know what Cain brought. Okay, it says here, huh? Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
But to Cain and to his offering, he had not respect.
Right, so we know what Cain brought. I mean, to answer your question, Cain brought what? An offering of the fruit of the ground. Again, is that connected to the tiller of the ground? People have asked, hey, look, man, by the way, when he says to Cain, to Abel, he had respect, and to Cain, he had not respect, that word respect could mean regard. Or I think the New Living Translation uses the word favor. And I think there's another translation that says accepted. Or New Living Translation says accepted. The Lord accepted Cain's offering. I mean, Abel's offering, right? So at one time, I remember looking at this early on in my Christian life, and I said, isn't Cain just doing what he could? I mean, isn't Cain just like, I mean, he was a tiller of the ground. And I can imagine. And I told you, I believe Cain and those people, they were intelligent. Noah built an ark, a giant one, with his bare hands. I think there's something more going on here. And I think Cain I believe Cain must have been a master gardener, a master tiller. I can imagine in my mind's eye the altar that Cain had. It must have had the most delicious, most sweet-smelling fruits, pineapples, grapes, mangoes, whatever it is that you can think of. His spread must have, he was a tiller of the ground. All the colors. And all these things. And I can imagine in my mind's eye Abel's altar and offering. Where's this sheep with two X's on its eyes and its tongue sticking out with blood all over this thing? You see what I'm saying? The problem, I believe, in Cain's offering, and I think it was in Hebrews 9, it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, right? And the only problem that Cain with Cain's offering is that fruits don't bleed, not even dragon fruit, right? And it goes, well, how would he have known that? Well, remember, this is a continuation of the story. And at the end of chapter 3, when God basically pronounced the consequences of Adam's and Eve's rebellion. They were sitting there, covered themselves up with fig leaves, and now here he says, "Nah, I ain't gonna work." Here's coats, tunics of skin, coats of skin, right? And I can imagine again. It goes, "You keep imagining, Reese," and I go, because this is a continuation of the story. Could have Adam and Eve have told their children what God requires is implied that the blood. And it's the same blood of the animal that was slain. All you see what I'm saying? And that, it could have been, we don't know if this was the first time that Cain and Abel have brought an offering. It could have been that Cain was just sprucing it up a little bit, right? And just maybe forgot that, oh man, I should have brought that lamb as well as the dragon fruit and all these beautiful. I don't know, right? But I do believe this, that Cain knew exactly what was required. And he thought that he was going to impress God. This is a human effort. Remember when I said obedience is better than sacrifice? I think that was Samuel telling Saul when Saul really blew it big, right? He says, "Oh, I kept all these things that, the sheep and the bleeding of the sheep that you hear, Samuel. I know you told me that we're supposed to destroy all these things from the Amalekites, but, I'm going to impress God. I meant to really put this on the altar as a sacrifice unto the Lord your God, Samuel." Right?
So this was a conversation between Cain and God. So Cain had to know what God really was, because he was still walking.
I don't know. I don't know. I know he walked with them in the cool of the day. I mean, he was walking in the cool of the day, right, in the garden. Was he, I mean, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth, right? But I don't know. I don't know. Yes, I know he was speaking to him as an audible thing. I mean, he says, and I thought that was kind of interesting as well. Did you have a comment? Yeah, no, it's okay. Yes. Yes.
God said, "I demand this sacrifice."
Okay.
Nowhere
Right.
does God said, "I demand
Right.
sacrifice."
Correct.
God sacrificed him.
Correct.
God did that.
Correct.
God provided the sacrifice.
Correct.
He never asked Cain to.
Right.
God said, "Now, but I have to bring up the concept, a Hebrew literature concept of ellipse, which is there are things that are omitted that are just as important as what is written." And the first thing is, me, is that Cain brought some of his fruit. Abel brought the first. And the fat and the best. Cain brought some.
Yeah.
Michael, left over.
Right. Right.
This melon.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Right. But the fact that he said, if you do well, will you not be accepted? Right. He doesn't say that either. That's another question that we have. What is this thing called doing well? Because there is such a thing, obviously, from the get-go, a thing called doing well and doing not well. Right. But does he say, did he, I mean, again, it's using the same premise that you have said, like, stay in the bound of scripture. He never even did say either that if you're going to bring something, that's great, but you have to do it from your heart either, right? You see what I'm saying? So hang on. I think we need to, you know, just bring it in just a little bit, because I can understand what we're, you know, and I believe that God can see 20/20 vision in every man, boy, child, woman, girl's heart, right? I do believe that. And but here's what it says, right? He says on Hebrews 11:4. Just turn there for a minute. Hebrews 11:4. And then we'll go back to Genesis 4. Hebrews 11:4, it says this. By faith, this is the hall of faith. Hebrews 11. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Huh. And that's true because it's in the scripture, right? Is the opposite of this also true? If the opposite is also true, then it would read something like this. By faith, Cain offered unto God a less excellent sacrifice than Abel, by which Cain, obtained witness that Cain, he was unrighteous. Why would he be unrighteous? Because of his offering, right? God testifying of his gifts, Cain's gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. No, well, Cain did not. You see what I'm saying? Interesting. So I'm just challenging. I'm stretching you guys. I understand that, right? Because we're just looking at what is going on here. By the way, Bible says that to Abel's offering, he had respect. I thought the Bible says God is not a respecter of persons. Is this about favoritism?
Obedience. God loves a cheer for giver. Abel was not a cheer for giver. You get the idea. He was
Cain. Cain was, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That one was offered in faith and one was. When you go to the people that poor, I do not get that.
Yeah. I told you guys, you might, if you leave here today with more questions than you do answers, go ahead. Yes.
there to not saying that that's dead up now, but the thought is like it's all of us that are still learning.
That is excellent. That is one of, yes, the testimony of Scripture stands and falls together, right? Like it is a book. So I understand what you're saying. And Moses is the one who wrote this, right? He wrote not just Genesis, and he wrote the five books. But here's the thing, right? I don't believe this is about favoritism. I don't think this is about sibling rivalry. I think this is actually what we're seeing here is man's efforts to get back what was lost in the garden. It's been said that the word religion is actually a Greek word. It's called re ligare, right? Re means to return. Ligare is the word where we get ligation from, or to bind or to tie, to return to the thing that binds. And it's almost like this is religion is a human attempt to get back, to return to what we have been broken or severed, or, you know, that once bound us or tied us to God. Because and what severed it is our rebellion and the sin, right? So going back, and it says this thing is something that is so important enough that Jesus mentioned Abel and Hebrews, and there's actually in 1 John as well. I think we should just look at that right now, actually. 1 John chapter 3. This is great, guys, because we're not parking our brains at the door, right? We're taking our brains with us, and we're really looking at Scripture. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. And the fact that God can actually speak, and it seems like an audible voice unto Cain, that is incredible, right? But he says here, actually, let's start reading in verse 10 of 1 John. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning. The beginning of what? From the beginning. That we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. Cain was of that wicked one? For offering fruits of the ground? What are you talking about, John? Well, John is moving by the Holy Spirit of God. Isn't that what 1 Peter 2:12 says, right? Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And why did he slew him? Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Whoa, okay. What is going on here? Cain is being put on the stand, right? And it's the word of God who has judged Cain. What? He is evil? What? He's of the wicked one? Is that why he brought the thing instead of what was required? I don't know, right? I don't know. But we could look at this and say, well, Scripture is the best commentary with Scripture. We have to stay within the bounds of Scripture, right? And this is what it says about this story. Abel was righteous. If you look at Matthew 23:23, it says Abel is the right, is of that righteous. So was it because of the attitude of the heart that Cain had? This is some of the notes that I have, right? Should he have known better? Did he know better and just wasn't doing what he supposed? Because he said anything that is not of faith, to him it is what? Sin. Interesting. Verse 7 of Genesis 4. Yeah. That's interesting, right? And we'll look at that in a second. Did Cain, let's see. All right, verse 6-7. Here's what it says. And the Lord said unto Cain, why are you wroth? Why are you so furious? Why are you so angry? And why is your countenance fallen? It's almost like Cain's like, I'm not angry. I can see it in your face, Cain. By the way, I can see it in your heart too, because I can see right through and know what you are. And this is the Lord. This is, and he says, if you do well. By the way, that word if, what does that mean? It means if. Like, as if Cain has a choice here. If you do well, Cain, you shall be, shall you not be accepted? That's a rhetorical question. Of course you will be accepted, Cain. Maybe you're stretching that out a little bit. But it says, if you do well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lies at the door. It's called sin, Cain. And unto you shall be his desire. Whose desire? Sin. Sin wants to get you, Cain. And you shall rule over him. You should. This is what you should do, Cain. Sin is lying at the door if you don't do well. There's this thing called not doing well, and it's called sin. It's rebelling against God, not doing things God's way, right? And you should, you shall rule over him. So Cain became angry and festered in his anger. By the way, unresolved anger is called what? Bitterness, right? And Cain, it doesn't appear that Cain, you know, he says that it appears that Cain had a choice, right, in this matter. He can do better. He can repent, couldn't he? Like, there's some people who say, no, no, this is just the way it is. But if, what does the word if means? If, it's a choice. You can go, oh, you know, if you do well, but you know, you can't really do well. You're just, this is your lot in life from the beginning. This is what I made you as, is to be a reprobate and a wicked one. And I'm just telling you, if you do well, then you can just do, you know, there. A peace. That's not God. That's not the, if means if. Hang on a second, all right? I'll get to you. I know you have a question. But it says here that, but looks like Cain preferred this other way. Instead of, you know, he could have repented and said, you know what? You're right. Maybe I should have known better. Maybe my heart, just my attitude was not right. Right? And I'll do better. I'll do better. But Cain took this low road of pride. By the way, hamartia is what the word sin is, right? And it literally means missing the mark. And I read this somewhere that there's actually three ways to miss the mark. What did you say? A mark is just not a round thing. It's just one dot, right, on the wall. And bullseye, that's it, right? And anything that is not bullseye is sin. And there's three ways that you can do that, apparently, in the old times, medieval times. One is to aim it, let go, and miss the mark. You just didn't hit it. The other one is if you're aiming at the wrong thing, and you hit that bullseye, but it's not the correct bullseye, that's still missing the mark. And the other one, apparently, is, I think it was in the medieval times they do this, but it was actually a competition, right? In some kind of an archery competition, that there's like a timer, like, okay, get ready, set, go. And if you don't go, if you go too early or too late, that's still, and even if you miss, you hit the mark, it's still not missing, it's still missing the mark. And I thought that was interesting. Because I think what's going on is Cain hit bullseye with his beautiful offering. he just hit the wrong bullseye in my mind, right? Like, no. There is a, you know, a hamartia is missing the mark. And he took his personal, this rejection from God, very personal. It's very obvious. Instead of humbling himself, admitting that he fell short and he missed the mark, he just got mad, got angry. Did you have a thought?
And now shalt rule over him. Do you think that that means that we know that God was audibly speaking with him? Is Satan still involved in this scene where he's having that influence there too?
Well, it says in 1 John 3, it would say that Cain was of that wicked one. What does that mean? Like, you know, like, he's of that. I mean, Jesus called some of those Pharisees, "You are of your father, the devil." He was a murderer from the beginning. He was a liar from the beginning, right? Yeah, it's interesting. And look what it says in verse 8. I love this part right here. And again, right? Just looking at what it says, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother. How long did they talk for? We don't know. What did he say? What did Abel say? By the way, Abel's righteous. Abel loved God, right? He says, "Brother, I love you." You heard what he said. He said, "If you do well, will you not be accepted?" I think, you know, I don't think Abel walked in there, I'm the favorite one here, right? I don't think so. I believe Abel, oh my goodness, that's 7 o'clock already, 5 minutes, oh my Lord. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against his brother and slew him. And here's the Lord. By the way, this is the Lord just comes up to Cain and asks questions, right? Why are you wroth? If you do well, will you not be accepted? Here's two more questions. Where is Abel, your brother? Reminds me of Adam, right? Where art thou, Adam? I'm in the woods hiding from you. This God does not know where Abel is? He does. He wants Cain to admit what's going on here, right? And he said, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" Yes, Cain, you are. Yes, you are. Because we're supposed to love one another. Right? As Christ loved us. He goes, whoa. That's New Testament stuff. This is Old Testament stuff. Right? No, Cain, you know, the greatest command, all scripture, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Wouldn't you want Abel to care for you too? No, that's why you slew him, is because you are wicked, 1 John 3 says, right? And he says, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" Yeah, yes, you are. You totally missed it, Cain. "And why, what hast thou done? The voice of your brother's blood cries unto me from the ground, and now you are cursed." Before, the ground is cursed. God did not curse Adam. But now, Cain, you are cursed. "Which had opened, and now art thou cursed from the earth, which had opened her mouth to receive your brother's blood from thy hand." It's almost like, you want blood, huh? I'll show you blood. I'll give you blood. Again. But he says here, and Cain said, he says, "When you till the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto you her strength." You're not going to be a farmer anymore, because you can till and till and till. It's going to grow nothing but thorns and thistles for you. It's not going to yield her strength. And automatically, what do you become? You still have to eat. A fugitive and a vagabond. "A fugitive and a vagabond thou shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment." He could have said, "Oh Lord, I am so sorry. I blew it. I did kill Abel. I shouldn't have. He's my brother. I should be watching over him. I should be a keeper of my brother." And Cain said unto the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." You know what problem Cain had? It's an I problem. I, me, myself problem. Look what he says. "My punishment is greater than I can bear. You have driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from your face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that finds me shall slay me." Me, me, me. I don't care about my brother. I don't care about you. I care about me. And the Lord said unto him, oh my goodness, look what happens. "Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." What is this about? God's love and protection for Cain. Yeah, I understand, Cain. Yeah, you won't be able to be a farmer. You can't sit still because you're going to need to get some food for yourself and for your family, your future self. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain. What does that look like? "Lest any finding him should kill him." Now, there's a lot of people have a lot of opinions about this mark. We don't know. Is it a spiritual? Is it a physical mark? Is it a? My wife says it's got to be physical. It's got to be something obvious. I don't know. Is it a spiritual mark? I don't know. Is it a scent? I don't know. Right? We don't know, but it's a mark. And by the way, if this mark is physical, did he have to transfer to his progeny? You know, to his children? Why? His children aren't cursed. It's just Cain that's cursed. Why do they need protection? You see what I mean? People say, oh, this is the color of their skin. Really? What color is that? You don't know. Is it a tattoo? Right? We don't know. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Here we go. All right. And dwelt in the land of Nod in the east of Eden, and Cain knew his wife. Anybody remember the movie Contact with Jodie Foster? What was the famous young Jodie Foster's question? Jodie Foster is this brilliant scientist, became an astronomer, you know, that one, astronomer. And she has like baggage in her past, and she looks at the professor I think she was in, you know, university, and it was like a theology class, and says, And Jodie Foster says, "I got a question. Where did Cain get his wife? If there's nobody around," it's Adam and Eve, right? "Where did Cain get his wife?" Well, chapter 5, I think Brother Greg Weiner is going to discuss next week, that Adam lived till 930 years old, right? He was 120. That was the first date what we have in the Bible, by the way. Adam was 120 years old from day zero when God created, and he bore Seth. We don't even know how old Adam was when Cain and Abel were born, but we know he was 120 years old when Seth was born, and he had sons and daughters. Cain married his sister, maybe. Cain married his niece, maybe, his grandniece. I don't know. But I know this, you can have a lot of babies in 930 years, right? I mean, there you go. Thank you. I will leave you with this thought. And I really enjoy, I apologize, right? It is what it is. It is what it is that I've prepared and you said, "Man, you said stay within bounds of scripture, and then you just went into all these tangents and stuff." Right? How ridiculous is that, right? But I do believe that you take scripture as scripture. And is this chronological? At this point, and it's a continuation, right? God told them, you know, spoke with them, maybe, who knows? But the rest of this is really the family of Cain, right? Which seemed like it was very interesting that he named his son Enoch. And Seth's first son is named Enos. And Seth's grandson is named Enoch. And Irad sounds a lot like Jared, right? Another great-grandson of Seth. And Methuselah sure sounds a lot like Methuselah, right? The grandfather of Noah, right? Which is the oldest man that ever lived, off the lineage of Seth. I think there's still always carbon, or there's always, and we know that Cain is of the wicked one. I think what the enemy does is he counterfeits, or he tries to match, or make it sound like that these things are really of God, when it's really not, meaning the counterfeit that the enemy of the wicked one produces. And what do we know what his family? Listen, his family, if you look at scripture, right? What were they about? They're about cattle raisers. They raised cattle. And what else? They invented the first two instruments, musical instruments. What was that? A wind instrument and a stringed instrument. These people are intelligent. You go, they're sitting rocks. No, one of them is an artificer, metallurgy of iron. These people are brilliant. Don't think for a minute that, oh, well, you know, they were just a bunch of dumb. No. We're created in the image of God. Today, how creative the human brain is, the human mind, the human person is, that we can launch rockets with precise elements in a nearby planet, right? Unfortunately, a lot of that creativity is being used to dominate one another and destroy one another than doing something actually productive with it, right? And yes, you have to defend yourself with a really creative person who wants to destroy you. I get that. No, but it just seems like these people we see, and I'm thankful that the verse, the end, the last verse is that, you know, that man, you know, Seth was born, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. And then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. How did they know how to call upon the name of the Lord? Maybe God talked to them, like audibly, or maybe his parents. Noah saw his great-great-grandson. He was a few years shy when Noah died. You look at the timeline. Adam died. Seth died. Adam died a few years, like 20 years before Noah was born. I mean, not like hundreds of years. Well, how do you know that? Look at the timeline. Google it. Right? And it'll show you the graph right there. And it is just wonderful. But these people, I believe we have God who created the world, and he wants us to know him. He wants a personal relationship with us. And there is such a thing as doing well and doing not well. And I believe that that God gives people chance. If you do well, will you not be accepted? He's the God of second chances, third chances, fourth chances. But here's the thing. It is appointed for a man once to die, and then the judgment. And I love that in Acts 17:30, when Paul was, you know, standing in the Mars Hill, right? And he says, for the times of this ignorance, God winked. He's willing to wink at your sin, Cain. He's willing to wink at your sin, Reese. Right? Meaning he's allowing that. He's willing. But now he commands everyone to repent.
Repent.
Repentance. That is the good news, that if you repent, what you will find is a loving arms of a father who says, come home, come home. I've been here all along. I've been waiting for you. I've never left you. I've never forsaken you. I really know your heart. I know when you get up and when you lie down. I know what ails you. I know what makes you scared. And I want to be a father to you. I created you. You shall, and they shall be mine, says the Lord, right? Those who put their faith and trust in him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you that we're just able to discuss these things. And I apologize, Lord, to you. And if there's anything that I said that is not of you, and I just pray, God, for your protection to these people. And Lord, as we walk out of here, maybe with more questions than what we started out with, Lord, and just thank you for your word. And we know that your word is true. And Lord, we may not understand it completely, but Lord, you want us to understand enough. And there's enough here that there's such a thing as doing well, and there's such a thing as doing not well. But Lord, we just pray, God, that you will help us to overcome that sin that lies at the door of every man, woman, child's heart, Lord. The sin that just wants to destroy us. We don't want to be of that wicked one anymore. We just pray, God, that you will help us to know truth and to live truth. And once we find truth, Lord, to never let it go. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And grace and truth came by you, Jesus Christ. And so we praise you and we thank you. And be with us for the rest of the week. As we sleep and as we get up, this whole week, we'll just fill our hearts with goodness and memory of how you want to take us on your lap, like Pastor said this morning, and just show us what a good father you are, the good shepherd that you are. And we do love you, Jesus. We thank you. And in your name, we ask all these things, Lord. Amen. God bless you. I'll be here for a few more minutes if you guys want to talk about it.